All right. And Tim informed us these kids do not have boots. So it's not like, well, they don't have shoes, or they don't have like newer shoes. These kids don't have any shoes in Romania.
And
so
these last the longest. That's
yeah. So it's we can get some shoes on kids and help them out. And so anyway, very good. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to continue where we were last week. Tell you what, you get into the Bible, and you just fall in love with Jesus. You just fall in love with God. It's fantastic. And we're going to talk about part three, about why, about speaking in tongues. But it's not just about speaking in tongues, because, you know, Kenneth Hagin said something very powerful. He said, you know, speaking in tongues is the gateway into the supernatural. And why is it important to understand the supernatural? Because we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are called the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's two different, there's what we call the fruits of the Spirit, which are in Galatians chapter 5. And what that is, this is the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. And that's love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, faithfulness, right? All of those things that when you're born again, that your nature should begin to change. And so you should have conviction. You should have all of these things. And those are just the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit just are just when the Holy Spirit shows up, these things manifest, right? Whether it's in us, excuse me, or through us, the gifts of the Spirit we're going to talk about are other manifestations that the works that the Holy Spirit does. And so I always like to think of it this way. It's really easy to see if somebody is led by the Holy Spirit or there's familiar spirits involved, and it's going to determine, number one, who gets the glory, which is always going to be Jesus, right? Because Jesus said there in the Gospels, because I'm sending another comforter, we see in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, he's going to, what? Not of himself, but of my ministry, right? So Jesus said, this Holy Spirit, or this extension of my ministry, which is the Holy Spirit, he's going to give a testimony of me. He's going to give me glory. And then therefore, again, so it's really the Father and then Jesus and then the Holy Spirit is fulfilling the ministry. And so I always hear people, well, I got this word from God and everything. And you're thinking, that ain't from God, right? That's strange. And that there's no, it's completely unbiblical because it doesn't sound like God. It doesn't sound like the manifest of the Holy Spirit. And so when we speak in tongues, speaking in tongues is an evidence of Jesus commanded us to do at the end of Luke. He also commanded us there in the apostles, was disciples, and later the apostles in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they're supposed to stay in Jerusalem, and then there they would receive what? Power on high, right? Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And then from there, we'll be able to have things, kind of like what Roman was just talking about earlier. Revelation. That's from the Holy Spirit, right? That's what you need. You need the Holy Spirit working in your life, right? Because you don't need to be floundering out here doing things. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in this situation. Guess what? God does.
Yes.
He's going to. He's going to show you things to come. And I've had things before will just happen. And it's people say it's deja vu. That's no such thing. But you can have things happen in your life where you look back and you're thinking, I just knew on the inside something was happening. And that's the Holy Spirit stirring you. And every time, I would like to say this, every time that we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are activating, you know, people, well, I just don't feel like I have faith. You know, when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying and you are engaged with the Holy Spirit. That is an act of faith right there. You are fellowshipping the Holy Spirit. There are different types of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. One of them is speaking in tongues. And it builds your faith, right? Jude 20 says, but you beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, right? And that Greek word is like to charge a battery. We're leaky. I like to say we're leaky because, you know, we're out in the world. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with kids. You know, I mean, life just happens. You got work going on. So, you know, sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, when I'm doing natural things, I don't feel real spiritual. You know, I was given, Kate and I were giving the dogs a bath. And you know what? I didn't feel real spiritual today, right? It's like, well, these guys needed cleaned up. So there's things you're just doing natural things. You don't feel very spiritual, okay? And last night, you know, I heard the tornado sirens went off. Remember that, you know? So we went down to the basement, you know, and I'm falling asleep, right? I'm just getting that sweet spot. I'm just like getting in that deep spot, and they're like, rawr, rawr, rawr. I'm in the flesh now. Right? So there are just things in life that happen that just, it just catches off guard. We're dealing with things, and so we pray in the Holy Ghost, we commune with the Holy Spirit, and then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, now, therefore, are the varieties of gifts, this is the NASB, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I love this. You know what? Everything is good. Like the Bible says, everything good and perfect comes from heaven above. If it is good, it came from God. If it's bad, it didn't come from Him.
That's right.
And so, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, word of wisdom is something that it's not necessarily a past tense, but it's something that you just know something's going to happen, right? Wisdom is just something that often is just around the bend. You just have something. You can't put your finger on it, but God is revealing some things to you. By the way, Jesus operated in all of these in his ministry. And to another, the word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge is you know something about somebody past tense, or just something somebody's going through, right? That's word of knowledge. And according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. There's just sometimes God will just give you a spirit of faith. I've had that happen to me before, where you get something, and now there's, we do have faith, but sometimes God will just give you extra faith for something, right? Because he needs you. His assignment, there's something he needs you to do, and he just gives you faith. To another, gifts of healing, right? By the one Spirit, and to another, effects of miracles, or effecting of miracles, right? So we can call gifts or manifestation of the miracles. Sometimes God is going to do things, and you're just going to see, you know, people just supernaturally change, or there'll just be a complete miracle happen. And to another, prophecy, which just means speaking of you know, an unction by the Holy Spirit, and to another, distinguishing of spirits. I've had that before too, where I've seen, you know, the Holy Spirit you'll have a discerning of spirits. The Apostle Paul had this happen to him when he was on the road, and the woman that was a soothsayer came and said, oh, this is the God of the Most High. And on the inside, even though she said the right things, there's something off about her. There's just something isn't right here. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit to kind of reveal things to you. I've had people, you know, if they come to church, I've been out in other places or something, they'll say things. It sounds right, but on the inside, I'm thinking, ding, 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 there's something wrong with this person. Or I've actually had manifestations in the spirit realm where I've seen demons and angels before. That's discerning of spirits. Well, you'll actually see it manifest. So what it is, you can tell God is exposing spirits to you often to show you whether they're good or evil. Or manifestations in the spirit. And then what goes on here, to another, various kinds of tongues, and also another interpretation of tongues. So we'll have tongues and interpretation, right? You notice how it says tongues and not translation? It's interpretation. That's very important. We're not translating anything. It's interpreting it. What's happening? And so the Holy Spirit's giving. Why is that important? Because it's that when you're dealing, all of these things is all about faith. When you pray in tongues, in for example, like a setting like this, and you have an interpretation, you know what? Sometimes you have to just start speaking, and it may not be exact perfect, but God is going to give you that interpretation. It's kind of like this too. When I deal with tongues and interpretation, maybe I'll pray out, you know, sometimes here, I'll pray out in the Spirit, and I don't know what I'm going to say or if somebody else is going to do it. And I don't know, well, do I have the interpretation? Does somebody else have it? And sometimes I'll just start saying something and then all of a sudden I'll get direction. And that's all by faith. And that's all led by the Holy Spirit. But one, the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. I want to say this too. Now, you're sitting there talking to yourself, okay, well, you're talking about tongues and everything. Let me just say this. Tongues is part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, right? And I get so tired of people saying things like, we were out somewhere the other day and somebody made some comment about something in a Christian setting, and I was like, oh my goodness, I have no idea what we're talking about. Tongues is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. And when you're sitting there focusing on tongues is just something that comes from the Holy Spirit, and it comes from our spirit man. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, again, it's all directed by the Holy Spirit, right? These are all things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Tongues is just one of those things. One of those many things. Can I say this? I operated in most of these gifts before I even became a pastor. So what that means is I was hungry enough that things are manifest in my life, and they can manifest for you too. This is where the religious folks get to. Now, again, you can't, for example, I mean, sometimes that's why the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, you need to judge words. Like, for example, if there's a tongue and interpretation or there's a prophecy, you need somebody to judge it, because guess what? Any person can get up and say anything. But you can't fake a miracle, right? I mean, either the arm grows out or it doesn't, right? But I can get up here and play Bozo the Clown all day long and throw prophecies all over the place, and nothing's going to stick. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. It's like he focuses on the vocal ministries, right? The prophecies, the things like that, people giving you prophecies or words of wisdom, words of knowledge, you need to judge it. That's why we need to have, he said there in James, other places, that you need to have ministry gifts or other people, and also judge in your heart those things that are spoke over you. And that's why you need the discerning. You need to have understand the word and understand that's weird, or that's not right, or that's right. So here's some interesting things too. Also too, this stuff takes time. And I'll give you some examples here really quick. And I want to apologize on behalf of ministers out there that just preach that if you spend 5 minutes or you just name it and claim it, it's just going to happen for you. Well, one of the things that I think we need to do and understand is the Holy Spirit is a person. And sometimes we've turned him into a slot machine or the Lord. You know, I need this, I need this, I need this. Now, there are things that are happening in your life. You don't have time to get a, Lord, I beseech thee. Right? You're going down the road and somebody's coming to you and it's just, Jesus! And that's about it, right? Because God knows that, okay, I don't have time to get in this glossy-eyed spiritual realm or anything. It's like, I'm driving here and a deer just jumped out in front of me. We had that in South Dakota. We're heading home, and you know, the South Dakota, you're trucking 80 plus. Well, I'm driving 80. Everybody else is, you know, driving crazy. But anyway, so we're trucking right along, and all of a sudden, I get on the inside, I'm praying, and sure enough, there's two doe, a big buck and a doe come flying along, and I mean, we're going along, and it's just choreography. It just, like somebody planned it that way. They ran right perfectly. We went right between the two of them at 80 miles an hour, and it was just, and the Lord told me to pray right before that. Well, I don't know. God's not going to get, sometimes I got to give you this big vision, but the point is this, when we need things, he's the source. We don't go to him for our answers, but we go to him because he's the answer. And I remember, and I'll just say this too, a couple of times, like with some jobs I've had, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you, and this is why it's so important to be led often. I remember one time I had a job, and all of a sudden I just felt like, you know what, I think I just need to move on. You know, everything was going fine, but you're going to get that feeling on the inside, like you feel like something's, like I shouldn't be staying here much longer. So anyway, I interviewed this job, went on, got a different job, and it was all within the same company, but it was kind of a sub-company. Anyway, so I went there, and then 3 months later, they closed the company that I was working for. 3 months later. So again, you got to be led. It's like, I don't know what to do about my job situation. You got to be led on the inside. And then I just remember another time I was doing mortgage, and I just kept having this feeling like, man, I need to start doing some other things. So I started working on insurance licenses and doing some other things. And then sure enough, and I've been working on that for like 3 or 4 months into it. And all of a sudden, one day they just came closing everything down. So I got everybody's like all upset, but on the inside I was kind of thinking, this is cool, because I kind of had a plan already, right? And it's not because I'm super spiritual or anything, it's just because I'm praying. I'm like, it just, about 4 or 5 months later, I just was, before that, I was kind of stirring around, like, I need to start preparing, I need to start doing something different, I don't know what it is, I need to just kind of go down this path. And sometimes you don't know, but you just be led to do things by the Holy Spirit, and then you look back, and you're like, he really saved me, you know, because it looked absolutely disastrous. And it was definitely not comfortable for a few months, because, you know, it was a transitional period, but eventually it all worked out. But the point is that even in our job situation, no matter what it is, or life or kids, or it doesn't matter what it is, we need to be led by the Spirit. And I've done things and I haven't been led by the Spirit, and I paid for it. Because it can definitely come back to bite you. And also too, you know, this is kind of on topic, but it's off topic, but it's kind of the same. I remember years ago when Adrian and I would, the church we were at, we did a lot of community things with other churches. Our churches would kind of get together, and myself, and then they got musicians from other churches. So a really good friend of mine was one of my best friends. He played drums at like a Church of God. And then another when I was in jazz band college, he played bass. And he went to Nazarene Church, and this other gal was a really great piano player. And so we would get together all the time, all of us, when we'd have like citywide crusades or church gatherings. And so they kind of grabbed this praise and worship band together, and we'd play at these events, and it was always really good. And all the churches would come together, so they'd have different musicians, and we had a singer from our church, and a couple people sang from other churches. So it was really fun to get together. But anyway, then we'd also have things like Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Anybody heard of that play, that drama? We were in that for like, 3 years? I don't remember what it was. I played Jesus at the time. And so it was just like every year came around, I was the Jesus guy, or Jesus. I played the Jesus. And anyway, so I think Adrian went to hell like, 2 times or something like that, 2 or 3 times?
Time I was
so it was
New Age.
So it was like crazy. I had to sell my wife to hell. So it was like, away from you. But it was a drama about, you know, it was really, you should go on YouTube, and there's some clips of it on there. Yeah, it's really good. But it's a very powerful, I remember the first night, we had a whole community thing, and we had like 200 people came to Jesus that night. It was really incredible. And of course, at the end, I was standing there like this, and you see the conviction on people, and you're like, this is amazing. So, but we did things like that. But we'd have prayer time together beforehand. So we'd pray, and it's interesting how, I don't know if I'm getting off on this, but it is interesting to note. It's interesting how each denomination responds differently to the Holy Spirit the same way. I took note of that because, you know, and also being at Rhema, I noticed that how some people at Rhema will react similar when the Holy Spirit manifests that's different than other denominations I've ever been in. And so it's the same Spirit, but I noticed too that sometimes people, they have, or they see, or they react similarly because of, again, other people are reacting. I remember we would pray in the Spirit and talk about corporate prayer, because you learn a lot around other people when you start getting in corporate prayer. But we'd have corporate prayer before the events, like maybe we had a crusade. One of the guys one time was an ex-Hells Angel, and I had a Harley at the time. So we took my bike, and we got to be pretty good friends at that time. But he came, and he gave his testimony about being a Hell's Angel and how God delivered him from prison. And it was powerful. All these people would get saved. But before that, we would pray. But I would notice how our church and the people that we were there, we would pray, you know, standing up and everything too. But, and again, this isn't, and it's just, but the Assembly of God people were bent over like this. And then the Church of God people prayed differently. But it was like interesting how it was the same Holy Spirit, but everybody responded differently to it. They reacted differently. And, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to sit here and make you do something. Often he works through your personality often. Remember that. If you think that the Holy Spirit, everything is going to be a canned answer and canned this and canned that, let me just say, he made you for a reason, and your personality is different than anybody else's, and he needs your personality to be able to contact people and to reach people. and he's going to use you, right? So there are just some things that's like, I am just not good at that. There's just some things that, I mean, God's not just, he's not going to use me too, right? So Adrian's going to be better at ladies' ministry than me, all right? Because there are just some times, you know, where I'm just not going to, yeah, that's not me. That's not my bag. So, but we need each other. But the Holy Spirit is going to use you on an individual basis, right? And so you got to learn that, again, but we can still tap into the same Holy Spirit, but he's going to often use us differently. So one of the things, too, with the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul places an emphasis on the byproduct or manifestation that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. We'll kind of go back to Acts now. We're definitely not going to get through all this tonight, but that's okay. And it's similar. The Lord is really dealing with me personally about things lately, and I believe that we are in transition. The church is in transition. I am personally in the middle of transition. No, I don't think I'm a woman or anything like that, so I need to be clarified that, okay? All right, thank you. He's like, man, he's one ugly woman. Whoa. Yeah. Yuck. That's a gross thought, right? Anyway, so no, not that kind of transition, but God is taking me, right? The word metamorphosis is again, transitioning to new. And I don't want to stay in the same place. Do you? I don't want to stay in the same place, right? But one thing that Acts chapter 9, verse 11. And I'll just say this, that before we read this, 11 through 18, the Lord will lead you where you need to go. And sometimes God will use people to unlock things you need. And we see all the way through the book of Acts, we see Paul's ministry, that God used Paul, but there are other people that God is going to lead. And that's why it's important, because we need to be led, because we need to be there available for other people, and people need to be available for us that are led by the Spirit. Very important, because we do have an impact on people. Let me just pause here for a moment and say this, that years ago, Adrian and I had really good friends of ours that were, we had at their house, we ate the night before, and they went to Texas. And they, ended up, got murdered. And then actually just recently, President Trump would not allow them, their execution to stop. And he said, nope, going to continue the execution. So, but anyway, it was terrible. It was a terrible experience. It was awful. And, really, it was terrible. But the main thing is, and again, we don't need to interfere on things, but it's very important to be led by the Spirit, because it could impact you, right? I can't tell you how many times, if I wasn't being led by the Spirit, I would have probably been in a hospital or dead. And we don't need to get in fear about that. But what we're saying is, thank God the Holy Spirit's there to help us. See, that's the way we need to look at it. Don't get, oh my gosh, I'm going to drive down the highway, I'm going to die. No, we're not going to do that. And it was a terrible event, but the point is, we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit, because he's going to help us. He's going to lead us. Please don't ignore those inward inklings. If something's off, if something smells like a rat, it probably is a rat. If it doesn't seem right, Keith Morris say, if it ain't quiet, it ain't right, right? And use those on the inside, because it's so important, especially nowadays, all the crazy stuff going on. And again, we're not getting, don't get in fear. I'm not trying to put fear on you tonight. But what I am saying is, the important thing is, we have a Holy Spirit. And I'm going to guarantee you this, those of us who were born again on the other side, we get to heaven, we're going to look back and we're going to see all the times God delivered us. And we didn't even know about it. we're not going to care by then, you know. It's going to be like, I made it. I'm going to run to the throne. It's going to be awesome, right? So, you know, we don't care. You know, it's got, hey, you still owe me $20. Okay. No, nobody's going to care anymore. But let's look here at starting verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Now, this is after Paul, it was Saul beforehand. Jesus was on the road to Damascus. He's blind. Now, God's trying to connect him with, and you know, make sure that, so he can restore his sight. And then verse 12, it says, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that might receive his sight. Now, what is that? That is a word of wisdom, right? That is something future tense that God is revealing to him to do. Now, he says, go see Ananias. How many Christians today would go, oh, I don't know, is this really God?
Yeah.
I don't know, is that really what I'm supposed to do? Thank you, I want to see. Hello? Right? Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how evil he's done to the saints in Jerusalem. He's like, have you heard the reputation of this guy? And God's not sitting there going, the Lord's not going, really? I didn't know that. Really? That's a shock. Imagine the Lord's probably like, yeah, that's why I want him. It's kind of like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. It's interesting, Jesus, in my private time today, I was reading about 1 Corinthians, talking about how the Lord always likes to confound the wise because he likes to use the silly things to confound the wise. And he likes to use the, like we call, you know, some of the southern folks or you know, back in the day, the throwbacks, right? I was probably considered a throwback. Basically, somebody that was like, kind of not really worth a whole lot. God wants to use those people. Because he doesn't, because here's the whole thing. God has, his ways are higher than our ways. Look back at King Saul. King Saul was a head taller than everybody else. He looked like a king. He was good looking. Oh, he had the whole thing going on. But he was a flop. And here's David, this little teenage kid coming along. Yeah. Only God knows the heart. And God's going to use people that they are not the, you know, the movie star, slick people. So Ananias is kind of pumping the brakes here, like, Lord, are you sure? Do you know this guy's reputation? And what he says here, verse 14, and he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. Basically, he's like, this guy's bad. He's got all this authority. You have no idea what he's been up to. And I'm pretty sure the Lord had a pretty good idea. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. So this person that is not what we would consider for the Jews, for the Christians, a real good choice, right? To bear my name before the dirty Gentiles. I'm a dirty Gentile. And kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm never going to suffer. You know what? Sometimes I had more problems when I became a Christian than I did before I became a Christian, right? My life before a Christian was like, I just want to drink beer and play guitar and be on the road. That was about it, right? That was kind of my whole makeup. And then God wrecked all that. So, and thank God he did, right? For Ananias went his way, and he entered the house, put his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul. Okay, we got the revelation here, don't we? The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, come to me, and sent me, that you would receive your sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes the scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now what? So on the road to Damascus, he got saved because why? He said, called Jesus what? Lord, right? And then here, we see that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then later on, we see here, and we'll close here in just a minute, 1 Corinthians 14:18 says what? I thank God I speak with tongues more than y'all. So what's the manifestation here? He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke more than you all. And then later on in that chapter, he says, forsake not to speak in tongues. Basically, like, don't stop speaking in tongues. Do it all the time. So we see that every time the Holy Spirit manifests and people are filled with the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues is there, and it's very vital. And this is why the devil fights so much, because you are speaking mysteries unto God. He has no idea what you're talking about. Isn't that great? No idea. Not to freak out or anything, but he's listening to everything we say. Watching it. It's called familiar spirits. But when we speak in tongues, he has no idea what we're talking about. And it's all code. And so we can be praying things out. He has no idea, and we have the upper hand. Well, we have the upper hand anyway, because we're Jesus lovers, right? He's already defeated. But it really messes with him, and that's why he hates tongues. So let's look one more scripture here. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. 10 years after the day of Pentecost, right? Still going strong. A lot of great things happening. So 10 years after the day of Pentecost, we see here that, well, we'll go into Acts 19 real quick too. Acts 10:34, and it says, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Down to 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here we go, verse 46. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues, and magnify God. So the Holy Spirit manifests. They all speak with tongues. People say, well, you know, it's only a gift for certain people. Wrong. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says the entire upper room, they all spoke with tongues. And I guarantee you, there was 120, there were definitely more people than the apostles there. So there were probably, you know, wives and children and everything else. Possibly, I don't know. And then we're going to look here at Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6, 20 years after the day of Pentecost. So an additional 10 years later, Acts 19, 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, well, we haven't heard as much whether there is a Holy Ghost. And he said to them, who are you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him and should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here we go. So we're two experiences now. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that means they got saved. That's also code for saved. So we see the Bible talks about different things. Saved, baptized in the body of Christ, received the baptism of Jesus. Those are all words or phrases for being saved. Then, verse 6, excuse me. And when Paul laid hands on them, here we go, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they what? Spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they're getting after it. Once they got speaking in tongues, then they start prophesying, right? Then they started speaking unction from God. I mean, Four out of the five times mentioned, again, in the book of Acts, it immediately says they spoke with tongues when the Holy Spirit fell on them. The other one, Paul, states that he spoke in tongues more than anybody. So we see there when Ananias laid hands on Paul and he received the Holy Spirit, but we see in Corinthians that he says that he speaks in tongues and he speaks more than you all, and you don't stop speaking in tongues. And he taught extensively there in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians and the book of Acts, and everywhere we see tongues. It's a blessing to your life. Why? Because when we speak in tongues, we are coming in. Now, granted, when we're born again, the Spirit of God lives in us. We're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We're a brand new creature in Christ. So the Spirit of God lives in us. But when we're actively engaged, we can actively engage in the Holy Spirit when we're speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 8, we won't go there tonight. But I see too, I know some people may, but oftentimes I don't receive revelation watching football or, eating walking tacos or, right? Those are, nothing wrong with that. All of those fun things that, you do in life, but you just, when you pray in tongues, now you're opening yourself up to the Lord to be able to hear from him. I need to hear from him more, and I need to hear from him more, and I need to hear from him more, right? Because, if there's a scripture, we need to go there really quick too. Ephesians. And really, speaking in tongues comes down to an obedience issue, right? Because the Bible talks us not to stop. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And this is talking about Jesus being the head. And it says, He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus head over everything in your life? Let me think about it. Sometimes, God doesn't really care how many accolades you have, everything else. All he's interested in is in obedience. That's it. And to me, it's in my personal time, and I'm sure I'm probably not the only one here, but the time that I'm keep getting with him is, I need more time with you. I need more time with you. It was just like today, you'll have those times where the more, like me, I'm just getting trying to get into the word more prayer time, and it was like getting in the word, it's hard to put it down. Because it's, the more you spend with him, the more download you're going to have. And the more you're going to hear from him. He was speaking things to me today, I'm like, I need to stop that. No, I'm not doing drugs or anything. I'm talking about, the Lord's like, you need to stop. You're doing things that have never produced fruit, so why are you doing that? It's kind of like, ow, that hurt. Right? He's like, tell me today. It was like, I'm just praying and everything. And the Lord's like, you have done this for years. Have you ever seen your fruit from it? He's like, I said, no. Well, why are you doing it? And he was just teaching me, he's like, the things you're anointed in, you're going to see fruit from. The things you're not, you're going to tell, right? And I guarantee you, I could probably go through almost everybody in this church, and I know what you're gifted at. Because you're known for it, right? It's kind of silly because I used to play hours and hours and hours of guitar, but the funny thing is, I'll have people that are 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they're like, oh, I remember I saw you playing there. Oh, I remember you taught, you were teaching at this time and everything too, right? What I'm saying is, your gifts, it will be burned in people's minds, right? When I say Kenneth Hagin, it is a teaching gift that is, everybody knows he's got a teaching gift, right? I mean, God anoints him. He is not a businessman, right? Even though God helped him, you know, with the ministry and things like that. He was gifted. Oral Roberts, amazing. One of my heroes too. I mean, you ever watch those old videos of him, those healing services? Man, that's just so awesome. Him sitting there laying hands on people and they instantly healed and stuff like that, right? He had a gifting that he walked in. And guess what? Everybody knew Oral Roberts was gifted, especially in the time of the healing revival in the 40s and 50s. Brother Hagin was too. But, you know, I just feel like it's we're in the time. The reason I'm talking about praying in tongues and being led by the Spirit, because like myself, I need to hone things out and say, okay. And again, you know, we can say, oh, you know what? Dishes are not my bandwidth. Sorry. You know, life's life, right? And I see people going. But what I'm talking about, they're just things in life. We need to be, I just feel like in the days to come, we need to be more led by the Spirit. There may be opportunities for you knocking, God is knocking on your door, opening things up for you to do things that may, you're not doing right now. And maybe there's some other opportunity. You know, and I'll just say this too. Sometimes there is a dissatisfaction in your life and you know something's off. And I believe it's not digging through trying to find the answer. It's connecting with him so he can... Because guys, let me just tell you this. It's all about your gift. The Bible talks about your gifts will make a way for you. Not your education. I'm nothing against education. I have education. But it's your gift. I'm telling you right now. It's your gift that's going to make a way for you. And you know what? You got to discover what your gift is. You got to see, you got to discover what God's calling you to do. And he's leading you. Right? I mean, sometimes I've, you know, you don't have a job. You just got to have a job. Like we came back from Tulsa. You got to start working. You got to, I know that. And there's just certain things, right? When I was 16 years old, I'm scrubbing dishes. Right, that was my capacity back then. I didn't have anything else because you start small. Like the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. You're going to start somewhere, but then it's going to grow and it's going to develop. Why? Because your gifts are going to make way for you. And it's very important to be led by the Spirit. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. I know right now, Lord, just speaking to me. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I hope it helps somebody. I've seen things before and I've gone down paths and it's like, the Lord's like, you are never going to be successful there, so stop it. Stop it. And I just, there are just certain things that, you know, other business realms, other things like that too. And it's like, I am not wired, like I don't think like these people do, so that's why we don't connect certain business aspects. But, you know, I could get discouraged and go, well, I'm not worth anything. I don't know why God's not helping me. Because it's like, I'm not leading you down that path, so you're just beating your head against the wall. But I want to do that. Do it on your own. And we need to pray. We need to seek God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Right? That's why you haul the people say, well, you know, that never works. No, it just you weren't gifted to do that. So just stop. Right? Say, well, that stuff just doesn't work. I mean, I'm not dumb enough to say, oh, we're going to keep doing this. Some people are very gifted at things and some aren't. And I know what I'm not gifted at, right? They're just things that I'm just not good at. Okay? I could not start a restaurant. Just you would visit one time and that would be it. I'm telling you right now. So, and I'm okay with that. Right? And I think that's when we get to God, you're like, it's not what I want to do, it's what you want to do. Because when you begin to discover what it is you're called to do, being led by the Spirit, praying out those things in the plan, you're going to be happy with it. I thought I was going to be happy doing this when I was younger. Right? I wanted to do this. I want to be on the road. I just want to be gone all the time. I didn't want to do, you know, it was like, I don't want a 9-to-5 job. I just want to be doing it. But then I saw, oh, well, I'm going to end up a wreck if I keep going down this road. I don't want to do that, right? Because I'm like, I want to wake up in the morning with a clear conscience that I'm pursuing God. That's it. And then, again, do we want to please him? That's why it's important to be led by the Spirit, because just like Saul, or Ananias said, and Saul, had a vision of Ananias. He's going to reveal things to us, what we need to help us get out of the jam that we're in. And I think Saul was in a pretty big jam when he couldn't see. And he's going to lead people your way. He's going to have people help you moving forward. I think sometimes, and I've come to this conclusion in my life, and like Brother Hagin said, he's like, oh, I just feel so stupid sometimes when I read stuff and I understand. I'm like, wait a minute, you feel stupid? Where does that leave me? Right? I think sometimes we're not asking the right questions in life. We're asking the wrong questions, and we're going down wrong paths that we're not supposed to go down. Father, we just thank you tonight. Jesus, we thank you, Holy Ghost. Tonight, Lord, there's hope tonight because, Holy Ghost, you want us to be successful. You want to lead us and guide us in all truth because you love us and want to connect with you as your children, Lord, tonight. I thank you for these precious people that we're going to be led by the Spirit. We're going to pray out the plan. We're going to wait on you. And there's joy in the journey, Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to encourage you, if you're not praying in tongues, we want to pray with you tonight. But I would encourage all of you to increase your time in the Word and in prayer in tongues. Praying in tongues. Amen. I'm feeling prompted tonight. There's just some people that maybe you need some things unlocked. You need some things. Stop looking at the mountain. Stop looking at these situations. Run to Him. Connect with Him. Get the vision. Be patient. Rest in Him. He's going to show you the way. Amen. I really believe that we're going to see people that... I believe God is going to reveal things to people. Amen. One thing... I'll just leave you with this too. One thing that we used to pray all the time in prayer school at Rhema with Jim Hockaday was we would confess this all the time. We would say, I know the plan and I'm walking it out. I know the plan. Tonight, you know the plan. Amen? Like, well, I don't really know it this second. No, it's in you because the Holy Spirit's in you and He's upon you and He's going to reveal it to you. We see in the Word, ask, you shall receive, knock, and the door will be open. God is not hiding things from us. This is not a hide and seek. God is revealing things to us. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Amen. Praise God.